This morning I bring to you grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who have called us into the faith. Today we begin a two-part message on a topic, that name, Christian. That name, Christian. As the church marches on towards the end of time, it's beginning to become more apparent to me how the title Christian has become vainly used by many. And as I said last week, it has become another brand name that people use. The word Christian has become a label that we wear instead of a life that we live. And so the Lord has impressed this on my heart in these last days more than anything else, to talk to the church about this reality. Last week I told you that the word Christian, we have taken and placed it on the religious shelf, and we look on that shelf of religion, and just like we have many religions, we choose Christianity as ours, and we wear it. It's like going into the store and checking on the shelf to buy a pack of bread. As I said last week, and there are all these different brand name breads on the shelf, and you have to like literally close your eyes to pick one bread to take home. And so we come and look at these different or various religions, and we choose Christianity probably because we find it to be a loving religion or something that the people who are in there are friendly, or it's a place where you can go and find friends or socialize, you know. And so we pick Christianity as our religion. So it has become more of a burden on my heart to remind Christian about the regenerating power that produces this powerful title. It comes as a result of the Spirit of God working in the heart of man. It is how this name comes about. It is not a title that we wear. It is a life that we live. It comes as a result of the fact that God comes into our lives through the power of His Spirit. And then He regenerates the life of the man. And He brings that man into new life. And as this man comes into new life, his name changes. And the scripture lets us know in 1 Corinthians 5:17 that if any man, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And then we have this new name that is in God, and that name is the name Christian. It caught me by surprise. The first time I was told the definition of the name Christian, of the word Christian. And after listening in on a study relating to this topic, I realized how far removed I was from the profession I was making regarding my faith in God. And so many Christians today, like me, jump into this bandwagon having no clue as to where it is headed. And we just jump into this. So long as it seems like we are having fun, nothing else matters. So we look for a church and we find one where there is, these various programs, and we're having a beautiful time, and the people in there are very friendly, and, we can talk to one another, and they greet me when I go there. And these things catches our attention, and we join the church and become a part of it. And so long as all of that stuff is going on well, nothing else matters. And we feel that this is what church is about. But folks, church is more than that. Being a Christian is more than socializing in a church. Being a Christian is more than the programs in the church. Being a Christian means to have the life of Christ living on the inside of your life. And that's what it's all about. I remember the first time when Andrea, my daughter, came to me and asked me this question. She said, "Daddy, what is the definition of my name?" And when she asked me, I went like, huh? And the reason I went, huh, is because when I named her that name, I didn't go trying to find the definition of the name, Andrea. I just gave her the name because it sounded good. And I said to myself that, you know, I'm going to name all my kids. And the name is going to start with A, since my name is Andrew. Everybody's going to have the name starting with A. And I dumped that name on her, not finding out where it was. So she asked me the question now. I went on Google and tried to find the definition for this name. You know? And so that's how many of us do with Christianity. We come into it not knowing what it means or knowing the purpose of what it is. We come in. So before we delve deeper into this definition of the name Christian, let's first look or talk about the origin and purpose of the name or of names, all right? Let's look at names. And the first thing I want to talk about is that just like everything else, names started with God. God started names, and you read in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, in there you see that God created all of these beautiful things, and he named them, including Adam. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 5, he gave Adam his name. But name also comes with identity, all right? When a person is giving a name, the name has identity behind it, and one's identity tells who he or she really is. And back in the days, in the Old Testament days or New Testament days or the early church days, when people give names to children, they give the name to the children with a meaning behind it. It's not like how we do it today. If the name sounds beautiful, we give it to our children not knowing what it means. But people give name to children and they look for the identity behind that name. Name also carries with it distinction, all right? Distinction. Imagine what a mess it would be if the whole world, people in the world did not have names. Imagine what it would be like, how we would be referred to, or how we would refer to one another if we were only calling one another by you, hey, you. Imagine what it would be like. But everybody has name because name carries with it distinction. Name also carries with them images, all right? It carries images. Imagine when I say the word, example, Michael Jordan, what do you think about? Basketball, right? Or if I said Mike Tyson, what do you think about? Boxing, all right? So, and then when I call Dan Lawman, those of you who know Dan Lawman, what do you think about? Music. That's how it is, all right? So when I say Jesus Christ, what do you think about? Savior, salvation, all right? We think about the one who came and died on the cross. That's for Christians, not everybody, because some folks don't even know what the name Jesus Christ is or means. But we talk about Jesus Christ, we talk about salvation, we're talking about eternal life. These are the kind of things that come to our minds when we think about Jesus. So having given you a brief lesson on name giving, let's now define the word Christian. The word Christian can be defined as a person who is a baptized. When I say baptized, I'm talking about by water and by spirit, all right? Not just by water, but by spirit. The Holy Spirit coming inside of you and bringing that new life, and a born-again follower of Jesus Christ is who we would term as a Christian. Let me give it one more time. A person who is baptized. And when I talk about baptized, I'm talking about by water and by spirit. I'm making this emphasis because a lot of times people think that water baptism is the only thing that saves. And we let or leave out the Holy Spirit's work in the believer's life. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings about that regeneration that takes place inside of us. So relying on only the water for baptism and think that you have this stamp on you to enter heaven is wrong. We need the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God, the same Spirit who hovers upon the waters of the deep when God came and saw the earth and it was formless and shapeless and void and empty. Nothing was there. The Bible says before God spoke, His spirit moved upon the face of the deep and occupied every space. And then God said, let there be light. And because the spirit of God was in position, when God spoke, life came into existence on the earth. It is that same spirit that brings about the regenerating work of God in the life of every believer. So we get baptized by water and by the Spirit, according to Jesus Christ in John chapter 3. Except a man is baptized by water and by the Spirit, he says he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So let's not rule out the Spirit's work. And now, so this person is regenerated by the Spirit of God. The next thing that happens, he follows Jesus Christ. He follows the life of Christ. He becomes a disciple of Jesus Christ. In other words, being a Christian means to live in the lifestyle and teaching of Jesus Christ. Paul writes here in Philippians, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He writes, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. All right? I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. He says in this text. So Paul is letting us know that he accepts the cross work, or the finished work on the cross of Calvary, by saying that I have been crucified with Christ. He's saying that when Jesus went on that cross, he went on that cross for me. There was a substitution that took place at that point. And going on that cross to die, I should have been the one hung on the cross and killed or crucified. But Jesus came and put on my robe and put on my curse and went on the cross and died. So I have been what? Crucified with Christ. And because I've been crucified with Christ, he says, it is no longer I who live, but that old man in me died on the cross, and the new man in me is the life that Jesus puts in here. That's the life you see in me. It's the life that Jesus brings. And in Philippians 1:21a, he writes, he says, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. What he's saying, the purpose of my life on the earth is Christ. It's not me. It's Jesus who living inside of me. So when a person confesses or professes to be a Christian, it has to be one who has Jesus living inside of him. And the life that he lives is the life that Christ puts in it. A Christian is one who doesn't only see Jesus as Savior, listen, but sees him as Lord. There's a difference between Jesus being Savior and Jesus being Lord. When we see Jesus as Savior, we see him as the one who died on the cross for our sins. And we accept that. When you see him as Lord, it has to do with him having authority over our lives. All right? So once Jesus has authority over your life, then he becomes Lord of your life. And so Jesus came not to only serve as our Savior, but he came to serve as our Lord as well. So the question to us this morning, how well are we living in authority, in submission to his authority? How well are we doing with that? It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. This is where it brings us at, to this point where Jesus becomes Lord of our lives. Not only Savior, but Lord. We call him Lord, Lord, Lord. But how much of that Lord is he in our lives? How well are we obeying Jesus Christ and his commands in the world that we live in today? So some of the attributes that Christians need to be reflecting as we claim the title Christians is what I want us to look at now. From our second reading today found in Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, he presents our Lord, who is the Christ, as a unique servant. All right? One who is worthy of following is the one he's presenting Jesus as. So in verse 5, he says these words, Philippians 2:5, he says, in relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. In relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. You see, I always tell you about the cross. That's why we have the cross. The cross has a vertical part and the horizontal part. That vertical part going up and down is that relationship with us and God. The horizontal part is the relationship with one another, and each of them are equally important. All right? In our Christian walk with God. And Paul is letting us know here, as you carry your cross in this verse, he's saying that in relationship with one another, as you carry your cross, in other words, he says, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Now, look at the word same in this verse. The word same here, the word here is speaking of the relationship between the vine and the branches. Remember Jesus says in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. This is what he's talking about. The word same is referring to that, all right? Because the substance that comes from the vine is the same substance that goes through the branches, all right? The branches, have you seen a tree and one of the branches, you know, maybe this right branch says, you know, even though you are an orange vine, but this year I'm going to bring forth apple. You know, I don't feel like bringing orange this year. I'm going to bear apple this year. Have you seen that before? Never. Not as long as that branch is connected to that vine. It's going to bring out the same substance that the vine has. And this is exactly what Paul is talking about. The same mindset of Jesus, the same life of Christ is what needs to be radiating out of the life of every believer. Just as the vine, the branch is connected to the vine and brings out the fruit, the substance of that vine, so we ought to be bringing out the life of Christ in us. All right, so let's look at some of the mindsets that he's talking about. Just one for today, because this message is going to continue next week. All right, so the first thing he talks about is the humble mindset. In Philippians 2, verse 6 through 8, it reads, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. First of all, we were told in no uncertain terms that Jesus is a real man. Or was a real man when he walked on this earth. And the first thing the Bible lets us know here is he made himself nothing. All right? Jesus made himself nothing. Think about this for a second. He carries the idea of being emptied. He emptied himself before coming down to earth. He had to lay down some very important elements of his divinity in order to take on our identity. So Jesus had to lay them down. That's why he had to spend a lot of time in prayer in order to be synced with heaven. Why? Because he laid down his divinity and came and took on humanity on this earth. And Jesus did that just for you and I. He had to lay down his glory. Imagine what it took. Look at the level of humility there. To put down his deity and come to this earth and put on man's humanity. But God loved us so much that that didn't matter to him. And he came into this life to do that just for you and I. In other words, to carry out God's purpose, he had to empty himself of his reputation. Jesus laid down his reputation, so he didn't go around walking talking about, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? He didn't do that. But Jesus came and over he referred to the Father as the one who sent him and the one who has sent him to do his will. And every time he talked, it was about the Father. Jesus Christ came in a very humble term. And as Christians, this humbleness begins with us laying down our own eyes. Lay down our eyes and humble ourselves, emptying ourselves of our personal reputations is what the Bible is talking about. This I represent reputation, all right? And listen to this, and there is no reputation in being humble. There is no reputation in being humble. When a person gets humble, his reputation, he has to lay it down. And so it comes to that point where saying sorry when it wasn't your fault has no reputation in it. When Jesus says something like, if your brother offends you, lay down your gift at the altar and go and reconcile with that one and then come back. When you think about it, when your brother offends, not when You when you offend your brother, but he says when your brother offends you. Not when you offend your brother, but when your brother offends you. Lay down your gift and go and meet this brother and reconcile with him. All right? Now think about it for a second. How we walk around talking about, you know, he offended me. And if anybody needs to say sorry, should be him, not me. And Jesus saying no. And the reason he's saying no is because he, Jesus Christ, we offended him in the beginning when we fell away from grace. And he laid down his reputation, came down on this earth and identified with us just to bring us back into relationship with him. And he's saying that Paul is saying to us, have the same mind that Jesus had. In that much that he was willing to come down to the earth and bring us back into relationship with him. No matter where we were or what we had done, he came into this earth to bring us back into relationship with him. And he's calling us to do the same, to go out in the world today and meet those people who have broken relationship with him, who have broken relationship with us, and bring them back into the faith is what he's called us to do. And to do this, it has to do everything with laying down one's reputation and taking on this humility that Jesus took on as he went on to do his Father's will. And now, let's look at the word servant in the verse. He says, he took on the very nature of a servant. It carries the idea of a form, all right? The essence of something which strikes the eye, all right? Or the impression one makes at his appearance. When a person appears, what do you see? All right? Like if a dignitary entered this room right now, when you look at this person, you know he or she is a dignitary. All right? But when Jesus entered anywhere, he entered there as a servant. He was the most humble person that you could ever find. And because of that, the Bible lets us know that he had no place to lay his head in the book of Luke 9:58. Foxes have holes and birds have nests. He says, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. So Jesus Christ humbled himself. He was, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, he was despised and rejected by man. And this is one of the attributes or attitude that God wants from us Christians. One of the reasons why we don't talk about Jesus much when we get out in the world is because we don't want to be despised or rejected. But when Jesus came to the earth, he came with the Father's mission. And it didn't matter to him how people felt or thought about him. He went out carrying out the mission of the Father. Today we live in an age and time where people don't want to hear the name Jesus. They get offended by the name. And so we don't want to offend anybody because we don't want to be rejected or despised. And so we keep that name to ourselves. But folks, no, Jesus came and he made himself known. He made his mission on the earth known to everyone he came in contact with. And he came to his own, the scripture says, but his own did not receive him in John 1:11. And it says here also in John 6:33, he said, my will is to do the will of the one who sent me. So all over the passages of scriptures, we see Jesus in his humility coming and letting us know about this mission that his Father has sent him on. So the highlight on today's message is the mark of a true servant who begins with the emptying of oneself. Empty ourselves of that I. The I is obstructing us from doing what God wants us to do. The fleshly desire, the passion of this world, and the lust of the flesh is preventing us from seeing God in his fullness. And Jesus Christ said here that as the Father hath sent me, I am sending you. As the Father hath sent me, I am sending you. As we go out in the world today, let us be reminded, folks, that we are on a mission for Jesus Christ and that we've been sent by he himself, just as the Father sent him and he came laying down his reputation to do the Father's will. So he's sending us into this world and is asking us to lay down our reputation to do his will. And I pray that as we receive this word today and we wear this name, Christian, as we walk in the world, let us see Christianity from a whole different perspective. It is not a label that we wear. It is a life that we live. I pray that these words from God this morning would encourage your hearts and keep you steadfast in your faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, amen. God bless you.